Hey, y'all. My name is Ann Wyatt. I started my career in workforce development with the state of Kentucky in 2010. That experience ignited a deep passion for manufacturing within me. I started this show hoping to raise more awareness around the bright outlook manufacturing careers have. Join me as I sit down with some of the manufacturing industry's most successful change makers and learn how they're partnering people with technology. It's time to give people more meaningful work. This is Workforce 4.0. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Workforce 4.0. I'm so excited to have Paul with us here today. He is the CEO of LightGuide. We met at Automate about a month ago now, and I was super excited to come by your booth, and you guys were so hospitable. Let me try out the really cool applications that LightGuide has, and I knew from that moment, I was like, you've got to come on Workforce 4.0 and share your story. So thank you so much for taking the time today to do that.
It's great to be here, Anne, and thanks for your time as well. It was a great ability to be able to host you in our booth too. So thanks for coming by and building the electrical panel. You did a great job.
Oh, thank you. I tried. It was really cool to see that application and having the projection on the workbench and everything. That was super exciting for me. So thank you. I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
For those that are listening today, I wanted to give you the opportunity to give a more formal introduction. So for those listening today that maybe aren't as familiar with you or what LightGuide is doing for the world of manufacturing, can you give us just a brief introduction?
Sure. So my name is Paul Reisner, obviously, CEO, founder of LightGuide. Started the company in 2005. Pretty much everybody at my company at LightGuide, we all come from manufacturing backgrounds. So our LightGuide technology was invented and patented and is now proven to be able to be projection-based augmented reality technology that is perfect for helping to improve various quality and productivity problems on a factory floor in factories around the world.
Well, perfect. Yeah, it is a really cool tool and application. I cannot wait to talk more about things like connected worker technology with you today and the power of AR and VR and really solving problems that are facing manufacturing. But, you know, before we get started, I have one quick question.
Yes.
Okay. You know, I got to ask you, it's just tradition at this point, but I got to know, Paul, we're out, we're doing karaoke somewhere. What's going to be your go-to song?
That's a great question. Going all the way back to my college days, I've always been a Police fan and just pretty much have every Police, that's going to date me, album that they've ever produced. And within all those various songs, I think Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic is one of my favorite songs by the Police. It reminds me of my wife because everything she does is magic. And also what we're doing LightGuide in many ways is magic too on factory floors around the world. So if you really put the pressure on me to pick one song, it would be that one by the Police. And
oh, I love that so much. Is that like your all song?
It is, but the Police is just a great group, and they continue to, in some shape or form with Sting and others, continue to survive today. So it's great to see what they're doing.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a classic band and a good one at that. Yeah, they're still making a lot of music.
They are. And going back to the old days too, they were very innovative as well in some of the songs that they came out with, Roxanne and others. So good stuff.
Awesome. As far as your outlook on manufacturing, I think what you all are doing at LightGuide is so innovative and is just really cool. But I've been fortunate enough to see it and try it out. And I have to know, as the CEO of the company, and when you're thinking about these things like innovation and technology and how we make the world a better place, how do you feel like connected worker technology is supporting solutions for challenges that many manufacturing companies are faced with in today's world?
Yeah, it's a great question. And if we zoom out a little bit before we kind of dive into the details of answering it, just manufacturing in general, and it's been this great intersection of people and machines and data, right? And it's always been something that has been there ever since the first assembly line was put in here at Detroit by Henry Ford with the Model T. And it continues to this day. But now you've got Industry 4.0 technologies that are also becoming a bigger and bigger part of that intersection. Digital technologies, you know, that are helping people to do their job, you know, with the highest quality and productivity. And Likeyd fits right into that. We are a plug and play technology that makes complex manual processes being done by people literally as easy as following the lights, because we use our eyes every day. So if we can make work instructions that are so visual and intuitive and that are truly right on the workflow itself, so that you don't need to look at a monitor or paper for information, it's literally on the work itself. What we have found is productivity, quality, and training efficiency typically improve dramatically when, again, work instructions become as easy as following the lights. So it's exciting times, I think, for Industry 4.0 in general right now, but also, you know, for proven and practical technologies to be able to deliver very fast return on investments on factory floors around the world.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? And, you know, I've got to know what kind of transpired where you were like, this is a fantastic idea. Imagine how much training time you're cutting out on.
Yeah.
But what was that moment for you when you saw
First of all, I just got tired of waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning with a text or a email from my quality manager saying we've got a major quality spill because somebody didn't follow the work instructions properly. And we're going to be up for the next couple of days trying to figure it out. So this is something that unfortunately is the root cause for many mistakes, right? Is people trying to remember what they're supposed to be doing while they're doing work. And they may put a bolt into the wrong location or just not torque the bolts in the right order or whatever that pain point might be. So I basically was designed in kind of a eureka moment, if you want to think about it in that regard. When I was at one of my previous manufacturing positions, we had actually contracted a consultant to be able to help optimize some of our manual processes in this particular factory. And one of the ideas that this consultant had on one of the major stations that was a big problem was after the person does the work, just to make sure the work was done correctly, to take their finger and go back over, let's say, the 10 steps that they were supposed to do, just to make sure that all 10 of those steps were done correctly. And that was a pretty interesting idea, I'll say that. But unfortunately, we were trying to reduce cycle time in the operation, not add cycle time. And somebody taking their finger and cross-checking every step at the end of every cycle was going to be more cycle time, not less. And then also, I also knew my team wasn't going to be doing that, you know, on every single product basis. So all of a sudden, that was literally when the light bulb went off, is why not just do that in lights on the actual process itself, so that people are being guided through every step of the process, so they don't forget a step, and all three shifts are now doing the work in a very standardized way. And so it was a great job, and left that position to start Likeyd, which has been continuing to basically take off with the value proposition of making complex processes as easy as following the lights. And an interesting statistic, not just in manufacturing, but in medical land, the third leading cause of death in the United States is medical errors that are made in various facilities, whether it's hospitals or whatever it might be. After heart disease and cancer, medical errors is number three. So if technologies, no matter what that tech is, can help to improve the quality and the productivity, especially quality in medical type environments, there it's not just saving time and money, it's literally saving lives as well. So a lot of opportunities, you know, especially right now, to be able to drive results across pretty much every vertical around the world.
Oh, wow. Have we tried that in the medical industry?
We have deployed Likeyd into medical various applications. And yeah, it's the same type of improvements in quality and productivity and is in manufacturing. In many cases, medical is still relying on checklists to be able to make sure work is standardized. And if you can replace those old paper-based checklists or monitor checklists with, you know, something that's literally step-by-step guidance on the work itself, then quality and productivity and training effectiveness goes up dramatically as well.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a really interesting use case for this type of technology. And I mean, How do you think that this tech really assists people? Because I can really relate with somebody that's maybe like on third shift, right? How do you feel like this is really empowering your workforce?
Well, I mean, maybe in a way that we can all relate to, because it's a very interesting analogy, is LightGuide is very similar to GPS in our cars. Essentially, we are a GPS for manufacturing. And the whole evolution of GPS, as you may recall, started out with old paper-based maps that were in our glove compartments. Those were our work instructions that we relied on, you know, to be able to get to the right place at the right time. And you don't even have maps in your glove compartment anymore. Those have been totally replaced with this great combination that GPS delivers of the right information at the right place in the right time. And when you think about that, it basically almost eliminates training time. You can be anywhere around the world, and GPS is helping to make sure, ideally, you don't make a wrong turn, and it's giving you the right information, right place, right time to help you to do that. But the real value of GPS isn't that it tells you after you made a wrong turn that you made a wrong turn. And in manufacturing, that's what cameras are doing. Mm-hmm. They're detecting that after the problem's already been created, that you need to fix that problem. The whole benefit of GPS is the turn right in 100 yards, the turn left in 200 yards. It's really trying to make sure, no matter if you've been on that road for the first time or been on that route for the 100th time, you're not going to be able to make a wrong turn ideally with that information. And that's the type of thing we're delivering in manufacturing, is right information, right place, right time, information mm-hmm. that helps somebody, whether they've been on the job for an hour or for a year or 10 years, you know, we can help them to do their job right and also reduce stress on people. Manufacturing on a factory floor is a fairly stressful environment.
Super and stressful.
Provide people with tools and technologies that allow them to do their job better and faster and with higher quality, we can actually, what we say, improve mind width. Not bandwidth, but mind width, to allow people not to be as stressed and be thinking about better ways to do the job rather than just have to try to remember and memorize every step of that process.
That's amazing. Yeah. Do you have any kind of case studies or anything that would support the effects of empowerment on your workforce relating to like retention or recruiting? I would imagine it'd be a lot higher, right?
Yeah. Well, definitely. I mean, there's definitely the hard metrics and then there's the soft metrics. The hard metrics that some of our customers are not only receiving, but even publicizing through public press releases as well as YouTube videos. Typically, when a LightGuide goes into an operation and it replaces screen or paper-based work instructions, we've got many of our customers that are seeing a 90% or more improvement in quality, 70% or more improvement in training efficiencies, and about a 50% or more improvement in productivity. And having been in manufacturing many years, obviously, the best way to improve productivity is to improve quality. So if you're inherently improving quality in a manufacturing process, your productivity on a units per hour is naturally going to be going up. So those are some of the really quantifiable metrics that deliver a pretty fast ROI, obviously. But then there's some of the more subjective metrics, like I was talking about earlier, reducing stress on folks. We've actually had some of our customers put a blood pressure cuff on their employees and measure their blood pressure working with and without LightGuide. And their blood pressure is actually lower when they're working with LightGuide because it's providing them a very great tool to do their job better. And hopefully it can also help to reduce turnover in a factory, maybe reduce, you know, some of the healthcare costs, et cetera, because people are staying on the job and really engaged in the job that they're doing with less stress.
That's really cool. So they will go out on the floor and they'll put the blood pressure cuff on their employees and you can tell that it's just a lot. Yeah. How does that make you feel when you see that and you're like, look at this?
Yeah, it's really exciting and it's hard to quantify, you know, what the results of those are, but it is really great to know that, you know, because ultimately, you know, the end customer for us is the man or the woman on the factory floor, you know, that is building products out there. And that's truly our end customer. So if we can make their job easier and help them to do their job better, then we feel we're doing a great job, you know, in order to be able to make sure that they feel really good about what they're doing on a daily basis.
That's amazing. I love hearing happy stories like that. That's really cool. That would be really cool for me if I were to see something like my work affecting like lives like that. That would be so cool. And it really does give you a true sense of like, I'm making a difference and I'm helping empower the workforce of the future and present day even. And I think that's super important to the manufacturing industry. I can't say enough on, I think the future of work is empowered. I don't know if that's something that you also are seeing an uptick in trends lately, but I think it's going to be an important piece to the puzzle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's some really interesting statistics that back that up too, quite honestly. And I mean, if you think about 2030 here in the US, there's expected to be about 2.1 million unfilled manufacturing jobs. And that is a huge gap, you know, that can't be filled by automation in many ways, because a lot of that work is high dexterity assembly work that is hard for robots and automation to do. So there's always going to be this blend in manufacturing of automation together with, you know, people doing amazing work on factory floors. And, you know, but there is still in this country about 66 million people that don't natively speak English as their language, yet all of the work instructions typically here in the US are in English. So, you know, there are a whole group of folks that, you know, if they're just following light through complex manual processes, we can help, you know, make sure they're doing great work on the factory floor, even if they natively speak a different language. We can also help, you know, with the disability inclusion space, because there's, you know, another statistic about 1.3 billion people in the world that have some form of a physical or mental disability. So if, you know, we can tap into that great resource pool of people that in many ways are looking for gainful employment, they just need the right technology to help them, you know, to be successful. That is also a huge untapped market that can help fill, you know, some of these unfilled manufacturing jobs that we've got, not just in the US, but around the world as well. So, you know, that's where a lot of these things can come together from a technology standpoint to help to make sure that this big manpower gap that we've got right now in the country is really starting to become filled.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's really, it's speaking to the importance of diversity in your manufacturing workforce. You know, that's been like a topic of conversation that I've seen trending currently with diversity in manufacturing workforce. And I'm kind of sitting back and I'm looking at the statistics like you are. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around at our current labor market, you know, what's available talent. And I think we're to the point where we no longer have a choice. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are going to have to figure out ways to bridge the gap. And it's not going to be, well, I mean, we're going to, you know, automate absolutely everything. It's not going to be, we can make more people, not in that amount of time, right? That's already kind of said and done for what we're looking at in 2030. And there's all these things. And it's like, what else are we going to do? And I really admire companies, manufacturing companies, that are going out there and embracing that and saying, you know what, this is a solution to a problem that we're having, and that's not going away anytime soon. I don't know, from what you've seen on your end when you're kind of deploying this technology, if there's anyone out there that you think is just absolutely ahead of the game in this space.
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's also pretty interesting. There's some statistics that are out there that have actually gone out and benchmarked various automotive OEMs around the world and being able to actually compare them against each other for cost per vehicle and labor hours per vehicle efficiency, you know, metric. And what they have found is pretty interesting is that some of the automotive OEMs that have invested the most in robots and automation have actually been on the lower end of the scale for productivity and, you know, the higher cost per vehicle, which goes kind of counterintuitive to what we think about robots and automation. But what it says is that you have to be really selective, actually, in a manufacturing facility to really understand where robots do the best work and put robots in there to help improve safety and other areas like that, that you want to be able to make sure your employees are safe on a factory floor. robots do a great job in many cases of that, but also being very aware of where people do the best work and placing people into those jobs that are the higher dexterity assembly work that is very difficult still for robots to do. So it's not like I just want to go lights out factory across all of my whole worldwide footprint. You know, the data doesn't back that up, quite honestly, because when you look at both direct and indirect labor, typically your overall labor cost can go up when you put automation in if you're not careful. Here, we're able to basically make sure that where you decide to put people and work in a factory floor, that they're being provided with the very best tools and technology to do their job as well as they possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think we'll get to a point resource-wise where we're able to maybe work with HR department or whomever is kind of taking the lead on filling roles? We're able to better assess things like, okay, this is a robot job. This is a person job. This is an automation job. Do you think we'll ever kind of get to that point? I feel like we're not quite there yet in recruiting. I don't know though.
I would say in general, we're not, but there are individual factories and in individual companies that actually do a great job of deciding, you know, exactly what you're saying there is where do people, robots, and other technologies do the best work. And there's some great examples of some of those companies that are out there. And they've developed, I think, their own decision-making process internally to allow them to be successful in being able to decide exactly that in their strategic planning. And they're not public, but they are typically internally developed. But we're in a lot of factories around the world. And I can tell you that there are definitely some leaders, you know, in the industry that are doing an amazing job of that. So it is possible.
Really cool. Cool. Yeah. I wonder if we're going to kind of shift when you're looking at like resources and things like that in the future.
Yeah. So. Well, the big thing I think everybody's watching is what role ultimately does AI play, you know, on the manufacturing. And what we're actually working on in our end is we've always collected great analytics with LightGuide. So our technology both guides and confirms manual processes. And so with that data, though, it typically has involved a manufacturing engineer or somebody else on the factory floor analyzing that data to understand, you know, where the bottlenecks are and then implement corrective actions to fix those bottlenecks. But now AI has got the potential as kind of an eye in the sky, if you will, to be able to be analyzing that data in real time and also providing recommendations on where are those bottlenecks and how can we fix them to improve quality and productivity. That's an amazing field that's developing right in front of us. And if we fast forward, you know, some time from now, I think we're going to see some great, amazing outcomes coming out of that to truly standardize work and continually improve the productivity and quality on the factory floor with that type of data now being visible and being analyzed in the correct way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you make some really good points about predictive applications for AI, most definitely, and how we're able to aggregate that information in real time. How do you think this is going to affect someone on the line 10 years from now? How do you think that's going to play an impact on an operator's?
Yeah, well, I think the team members on a factory floor today have always been very adaptive. I think number one, when there's big changes that are being deployed on a factory floor, key to success is involving the key employees on the factory floor, because ultimately they're the ones that are going to be using, you know, whatever that technology, and you don't want to have a program of the month where you just put it out there and you got to pull it back. a couple months later. So that's always a bit of a disaster on a factory floor when that happens. But if you're basically involving the key stakeholders and really using proven and practical technologies that are already running 24/7 in other factories with great results, the risk goes down dramatically that, you know, that is going to become a program of the month and you'll be able to actually get great results coming out of it. And I would add that in many ways, there are some amazing innovation centers, you know, around not just the country, but around the world, Manufacturing and Digital Institute in Chicago, for instance. And there's other ones that innovation and learning centers that McKinsey has deployed. There's a lot of great innovation centers that manufacturers that are looking for proven solutions can go visit, get hands-on with technologies, experience it, and make a decision whether that's the right fit for their particular environment. without having to, you know, just be able to rely on, you know, thinking this is going to be the right thing to do. These innovation centers are just, you know, first class in implementing and publicizing some proven and practical technologies that could be immediately deployed in a manufacturing environment for those that are willing to go visit them and take a look at what they've got to offer.
I love how you brought up Program of the Month. And I love that you brought that up and I recognized immediately what that meant. That's super frustrating to your frontline. How do we ensure that we do a better job at that? Because I really look at AI and just like other technology, and I'm thinking this could very end up in that kind of scenario.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one great thing, you know, about manufacturing is every second counts and every penny counts at a manufacturing floor. And those companies that have done the best job of recognizing that, you know, are typically the ones that are, you know, producing the products with the best quality and productivity. But once you really think about every second count, every penny counts on a factory floor, you start to think about, I got to be very careful about deploying technologies on this factory floor that could disrupt that. And that's why it's so mission critical, you know, to be able to really understand the risks and rewards of each technology that you're considering and being able to, again, deploy those that are not going to throw a big curveball into your manufacturing operations because something, you know, didn't work out or you just didn't predict that something bad was going to happen. So all the more, you know, reason to be able to, as a part of the analysis and due diligence process on vetting out different technologies, to really make sure that they've been running 24/7 somewhere in similar type applications, ideally, and being able to get good reference checks and making sure that that truly is going to deliver results on your factory floor as well.
For those that are listening today that are thinking about deploying new technology, what are some other things that folks listening today could take from that and say, okay, yeah, this is a really good framework to work with next?
Yeah. So, you know, based on having put in thousands of Likeite systems, we know typically where those ROI metrics are going to come from. And we'll work with our customers to put together, you know, specific ROI analysis for them, you know, and what they could expect to see in that return on investment down the road. That's been very effective. And it incorporates, again, all of our years of learning in this particular space. And we see that also with a lot of other technologies as well. So there are unique ways sometimes to quantify the results from Industry 4.0 type technologies. You definitely want to be able to have, you know, a calculator, for instance, that is being used to generate those savings and where your specific savings are going to come from in your operations.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, thank you for those takeaways. That's a really cool tool that you're deploying as well for ROI. From your own perspective, though, like when you're thinking about AI and AR, what is the most exciting scenario for the combination of those two for you?
Yeah, it's a great question. The most exciting, first of all, is that, you know, if you step back just a little bit, there's three really different forms of augmented reality in general. There is the ability to get information on a tablet overlaid on a physical product, for instance, a tablet like a phone or an iPad or something like that, or even buying IKEA furniture, right? You can basically see what color that couch is going to look like and what's going to look like in your own living room. You know, it's really interesting to see that. Great application, you know, for tablets and AR. Then you've got the other form of AR on a wearable. And so that's another interesting form of augmented reality that is actually got some applications where you still need to have hands-free type operations. But there's also some drawbacks to that where you've got latency between when you get the information and when you need it, and batteries that need to be charged, and a number of other things. Mm. Then you've got projection-based augmented reality, which is really our main focus and has been. And we'll always choose a projection-based solution over a wearable or a tablet just because of every second counts, every penny counts. You don't want to have to charge batteries. You need secure systems from a cybersecurity system standpoint. And also, you don't want to have to worry about latency either. So those are really the three forms of augmented reality in general. Amy, and we're able to basically define where the best fit is for our customers with those three. So that's exciting because that becomes augmented reality work instructions is really kind of one-stop shopping for various customers. But then you overlay AI on that, and that's when, excuse me, things get really interesting where it analyzes that data like we talked about earlier. And you really get that real-time time study for all the information that's being collected on the factory floor.
That's really cool. And, you know, I would say I have a little bit of undiagnosed ADD myself, but something that I really enjoyed about the projection AR was I didn't have to think about what's next. Mm-hmm. Do you ever find yourself like, do you know what I'm talking about? Is that like superhuman?
We've had a customer one time tell me that, can I put this in my basement so that when I go down to the basement and I forget why I went to the basement and I go back up to the kitchen and all of a sudden I remember I was supposed to go get a socket wrench. Like I would light up the socket wrench, you know, in the basement the first time the person goes down there. So yeah, absolutely. We've actually got some customers that have looked at LightGuide and they've got 8 million combinations of potential products that could be built. So even if you were to learn the first three or four of them, you still got almost 8 million more to understand, you know, what you have to do. So high variation, high mix, low variation, low mix. There's all kinds of pain points in all of those manufacturing environments, most all of which can be solved by industry 4.0 technologies like that.
That is really cool. I mean, if you think about like 8 million combinations, I don't know one person that could probably memorize 8 million.
You couldn't. Yeah, things. It's just impossible.
It's impossible. So that's really cool. I think it really broadens your workforce, your talent pool as well. Because if you do have somebody that maybe they have ADHD, you know, and it makes it so much simpler for them. And I can imagine that would bring them some security and some comfort in knowing, okay, this is what we're doing next, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, back to the GPS example for one moment. What happens when you lose your GPS signal and you're in the middle of a countryside somewhere and have no idea anymore where you're going? You know, the stress level literally goes through the roof at that point. And you got to go back to the old way of work instructions of trying to stop at the gas station and get directions or buy a map somewhere. And, you know, I mean, that's a very stressful experience. So when you can shift the logic, right, of just trying to memorize and remember everything into a system, whether it's GPS or LightGuide, it dramatically allows people then to be able to not just reduce their stress and operate more effectively, but again, you know, to be able to be thinking about what the human brain should be thinking about, which is I can inspect this part better while I'm doing the work. I can think of a better way to improve this process while I'm doing the work. And that's where things get really exciting, you know, especially where they are in the future here, AI on the factory floor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I remember I was going through Atlanta this one time. I was going to Atlanta or through Atlanta. I was going to a trade show over, I think, in like South Carolina. So I just decided I would just drive. I was going through Atlanta and it was hot that day and my phone overheated. And I was in the middle of Atlanta and my phone, I mean, my Google Maps just died. It died. And I remember pulling over at this gas station and just like freaking out. I don't know if you get down south. I don't know if you get to Atlanta often.
We're there on a fairly regular basis. Yes. Yeah. It's a nightmare, right? So when that happened, your mind width, you know, literally went to zero at that point. You couldn't think of anything else other than how am I going to get to wherever I'm trying to get to, right?
So I had to pull over and then let my phone cool off.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the problem, right? And so if you can solve that with GPS on a consistent basis, right, that it gets really, really interesting. But what's also really interesting about GPS is the whole evolution of traffic reporting. So, right, I mean, you basically in the old days, the best in class technology were traffic helicopters that would be going all over the highways on the radio, giving reports on where traffic jams were. And you had to be hopefully listening to the radio at the right time to understand if you're just about to drive into a 1 hour traffic jam. And so you would not want to be a helicopter traffic reporter today, because, you know, the whole AI part of GPS has got the ability monitoring all this data from various cars in various locations to be able to give you a prediction that, you know, you got a traffic jam coming up here and a mile and a half, and you need to get off at the exit that's just 100 yards ahead of that, so that you can bypass that traffic jam. And then it basically just drops you right back on the highway after the traffic jam. That's amazing, you know, and it's combining not just the right information, right time, right place aspect of GPS, but now you've got the AI, literally eye in the sky, that's giving you data that even with the best driver in the world would never know that. But with the AI component of traffic monitoring, you're able to know that, you know, ahead of time, so you don't drive into a big traffic jam. So that's also very powerful. And it also is analogous to where GPS is going and with LightGuide in the factory floor.
Yeah, but I think that's really cool to have that same application for your frontline workforce and for your engineering staff and for everyone to be connected and on the same page about all the information and data that's being input through your process. So that's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, I have one more question for you today, if you have time. This is more kind of centered on yourself and your own leadership development and career journey over the years, but I get a sense from you that community is such an important part of your journey and your own mission. I just wanted to bring this up in the conversation because I kind of innately feel that from you. But and how do you incorporate your passion for this technology
when
you're out there spreading the good word?
Yeah. What's the most amazing part about this job, quite honestly, is, you know, we are number one in some of the most amazing factories around the world. So we're able to see, you know, really what's cutting edge and what's working and what's not. But, you know, we also get introduced and exposed to a lot of just amazing work that's going on in factories around the world as well. In many cases, things we didn't even know existed out there. And all of a sudden we'll get a phone call and somebody will invite us into their factory to take a look at something that they're doing. One of the most notable ones there is we received a call from a company out of Belgium about, probably 8 years ago now. And they employ 700 people with some form of a disability within their factory. And they are running CNC lathes, they're doing assembly work, they're doing inspection work, all under contract for some of the top companies in the world. And so I got a chance to go out there and visit them, walk their floor. And it's just amazing, you know, what they have been able to do from a technology standpoint to enable some of these people who were told as a child that they would never have a job in their life because of their disability. And now they're building wiring harnesses and they're building electronics and, you know, all of these things. So that is, you know, amazingly rewarding, not just for me and our company, but to be able to continue to innovate with them to the point where they've seen so much success with LightGuide. They actually spun out their own legal entity called LichtWork, which stands for Light Work, which can then basically introduce LightGuide out throughout the whole European Union for various applications, similar to what they've been able to deploy there at Mariestein. So that's super exciting. And, you know, on at least pretty much a monthly or bi-monthly basis, we're getting introduced to various interesting things like that, where LightGuide can help not just improve, you know, manufacturing environments, but also improve, you know, community and various aspects of helping people do their job better.
I love that so much. That is a very underserved population that we have in our workforce and in society. And it's really heartbreaking, you know, as a parent, like that's like your worst fear when your kids are growing up is like being told that your child may not have a normal life or they may not have normal employment opportunities. So being able to bridge that gap and impact the lives of somebody that was probably told that for a long time has to be rewarding. I mean, it just has to be.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, Paul, I really appreciate your time here today. For those listening to the in the audience, is there a good point of contact for you? How do we reach Paul and learn more about Light Guide?
Yeah, we're on LinkedIn for sure. Anybody can reach out to us there. We also, through our contact page on our website, somebody can put in an inquiry and we will respond back very quickly. So those are probably the two best ways for anybody to reach us, Ann.
Awesome. Well, perfect. Well, thank you so much, Paul, for being on the show today. Yep. And for everyone listening, thank you so much. And we will see you next time on Workforce 4.0.
Thank you, Ann. Bye.